Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, December 23rd, 2020. Some employees of Tonch County beat their accountant and grabbed money meant for paying salaries.
He ran away with some staff salaries to Juba and assigned his friend in Wau here to be sending him our salaries every month. Our complaints have reached to the Warab state government and the former Tonch state authorities, but nobody responded to us.
And the assistant bishop of Lanya Diocese is accusing the South Sudan People's Defense Forces of attacking villages in Loka.
There were some women and men actually who sustained some injuries and so forth.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some government employees in the former Tonch State Coordination Office in Wau grabbed money that had been appropriated for civil servants' salaries after a top office administrator refused to pay them. A former Tonch State official says there is widespread corruption in the office. For VOA News, Daniel Maringwek reports from Juba.
Peter Ayai Ball, acting coordinator of the former Tonch State Coordination Office in Wau, says former state employees decided to take their salaries by post after they were suspended. Ball and other members of the coordination office accused Deng Shola Jwedit of taking 3 months' worth of salaries.
He ran away with some staff salaries to Juba and assigned his friend in Wau here to be sending him our salaries every month. Our complaints have reached to the Warab state government and the former Tonch state authorities, but nobody responded to us.
Ayai admitted his group took money amounting to 3 months' salaries, and that he directed another officer, identified as Akoch Bol Marial, to pay salaries to what he called the rightful employees. Akoch Bol Marial, head of accounts at the Tonch Coordination Office, says he was suspended 3 months ago for unclear reasons. Marial says the new group at the Coordination Office will be held responsible for any mismanagement.
We are 6 staff suspended for unclear reasons, and we have written many complaints to former Tonch authorities, but they closed their ears. Today we are ready to open our case against our boss.
Former Tonch state coordinator Tuwau Deng Chola Jwedit says the group took 55,900 South Sudanese pounds, meant for paying 13 staff members working at the coordination office. He says the group beat the cashier before taking the money.
They have embarrassed us a lot, man.
This group was suspended based on directive from former Secretary General of the now defunct Tonch State on being indisciplined. After beating the senior cashier in the office, they took the whole salaries and reallocated to an unknown location.
Several attempts to reach the Wau Police Department for comment on the matter were not successful as the phone was switched off. Former Secretary General of the now defunct Tonch State, Gabriel Awan Makwoch, denies charges that he ordered the staff members be suspended.
We will continue the normal staff.
I never order any suspension of this staff. They have been going around tarnishing the image of the office. They have beaten the cashier and took money.
Earlier this year, the Tonch community leadership in Wau ordered for the arrest of Deng Chola Jwedit, the former Tonch state coordinator for allegedly selling government vehicle and other properties. Jwedit was later released upon orders from the governor of Warab State. For BOA News, Daniel Marengwek in Juba.
A religious leader in South Sudan's central Equatorial state is accusing the South Sudan People's Defense Force of attacking a village in Loka, approximately 50 kilometers west of Juba. The bishop says the soldiers tortured, raped, and displaced civilians. Bishop Rufus Joel Lemmy, the Episcopal Assistant Bishop for Lanya Diocese, says some of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces went on rampage Sunday afternoon in Loka, burning houses with civilians locked inside. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Bishop Lemi says a group of SSPDF soldiers attacked local village on Sunday, weeks after two locals were shot dead by the same group. Lemi says soldiers from a nearby SSPDF barrack attacked villagers in Loka, beating and raping civilians and burning some of them inside their houses.
At the beginning of this month, of course, there had been an incident here in Loka where we lost two of our civilians, and there were some women and men actually who sustained some injuries and so forth. But then we thought the government is taking care of this situation. Unfortunately, last Sunday, the same thing happened, whereby some individuals from the SSPDF went to the residential areas, got the civilians, you know, they began torturing them. Eight of them were just locked inside, and then the house was set on fire.
Lemi says some of the victims later managed to escape from the burning house and are now receiving medical attention in Lenya. SSPDF Deputy Military Spokesman Brigadier General Santo Domingue says he has no clear information on the alleged attack, but says he is contacting the commanders on the ground to establish what he called the facts. Domingue says there are a lot of people who try to misuse the name of the SSPDF by disguising themselves as soldiers to commit atrocities against civilians. Bishop Lemi says some individuals within the SSPDF are tarnishing the image of the military. He says errant soldiers must be held accountable.
For our people to build confidence on the government, let those culprits really be brought to book, you know, so that everybody now knows that, yes, the government is standing with us. We know there are no orders from the higher authorities to those people. But at the beginning of the month, same thing happened. And up to now, we were told those people were arrested. But as we were still trying to settle, the same thing happened. So it's really very worrying.
The bishop says more than 300 households have been displaced and many have fled to the nearby villages.
The civilian population is very confused indeed. Others went towards Kopera site, and then there are those ones who have moved now to Lukuruban. As I speak now, 300 households have been displaced from that area.
In October, a South Sudan military court sentenced 2 dozen soldiers from the South Sudan People's Defense Forces to prison after being found guilty of rape, looting, and selling military equipment. The soldiers from the South Sudan military received prison terms ranging from 2 to 14 years. The soldiers were also dismissed from the military. Amnesty International accused South Sudanese authorities in an October report of allowing impunity to flourish over serious human rights violations, war crimes, and crimes against humanity committed since the conflict broke out in December 2013. Amnesty International said only one case was prosecuted. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Still in Juba, some South Sudanese sport experts are urging the government of South Sudan to buy a magnetic resonance imaging or MRI machine after the under-17 soccer national team was suspended from this year's SACAFA regional competition in Rwanda after 4 players failed the MRI doping and age test. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Alul Daniel, the South Sudan Football Association or SSFA spokesperson, says it was not the fault of the Football Association that the South Sudan under-17 team was banned, but rather false estimation of the player's real age in the assessment of age certificates issued by the Ministry of Health in Juba. The South Sudan under-17 national team was suspended 10 days ago from the Council of East and Central African Football Associations, or SECAFA, competitions in Rwanda. South Sudan had 4 players whose ages were above 17 and failed the magnetic resonance imaging or MRI scan performed by SECAFA to determine the ages of players. The scan uses strong magnetic fields and radio waves to produce detailed images of the inside of the body. Townfar Fredo, A sports analyst in Juba says the South Sudan Football Association, or SSFA, should have taken the MRI age determination test seriously, especially after several players from the region were also suspended in 2018.
If SSFA were wise enough to invite the CAF expert to take part in the pre-MRI test before the boys would have traveled to Rwanda, they should have avoided that. They should conduct a pre-MRI test before the team is meant to travel for such competition. Secondly, they should now reinstitute a follow-up history of these players from the academies that they come from.
South Korean football coach Lim Hang-si, who has been helping the South Sudan football technical coaching staff, says he constantly reminded SSFA staff members of the potential problems it would face if one player failed the MRI test. Hang-si says he will do his best to select players who are under age 17 and remove overaged players. Speaking through a translator, Hang-si says there are two ways of determining age, the MRI and evaluating players' teeth.
The MRI system is, as you know, is a very expensive, $2 million and $2.5 million. And this is a little bit too much money for South Sudan to prepare this machine. Even though we have one in South Sudan, but it's too old model. We cannot use this to check exact age of the players. And another one is the evaluation of the dental. The doctors, they can, check the teeth by simple instrument and then find out the exact ages.
Hang-si says since these services are not simple to acquire, South Sudan could rely on neighboring countries like Kenya's and Sudan's FIFA doctors to train sports medical personnel for South Sudan.
This dental evaluation system is very economical and is possible, actually. For in this reason, also he asked Minister of Culture, Youth and Sports and also Minister of Finance to assist the South Sudan Football Association and all the football community, with the budget to do implementing training of the doctors, also the devices, teeth checking machines also. It's not so greatly expensive, but it's affordable.
The SSFA spokesperson insists it was not the fault of SSFA that South Sudan under 17 team was banned from participating in the regional competition.
It's our country. We should just admit it, not us as the South Sudan Football Association. And let us also take the players to issue for them an age assessment certificate. They came from their club with their own age assessment certificate, and then we find that age assessment certificate not showing the real age of those players. This is exactly what happened, and the solution of this thing is to not accept any age assessment certificate again.
Daniel says the decision will affect many good players. He is appealing to the government to purchase an MRI machine to enable the SSFA to determine players' ages. An MRI test is a type of scan that uses strong magnetic fields and radio waves to produce detailed images of the inside of the body. The FIFA rule was designed to prevent older, stronger players from entering youth tournaments in places where birth certificates or other ways of verifying age may be unreliable. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a new strain of COVID-19 has hit South Africa. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when you make a mistake, do you admit it or just move on and try not to do it again?
When I realize that I've done something wrong, but of course I have to make sure that I make a correction out of what I have done. Because sometimes there are things we do them, and afterwards you learn from them as such.
It depends on the mistake, but most of the time I tend to realize my mistakes. And where it is necessary, I apologize. Why should I keep on moving when I've made a mistake? I've made a mistake, I have to apologize.
When I've done something wrong, I do admit. At the same time, I choose to move forward with my life.
Well, it is hard to admit mistakes. So, yeah, usually the first option is to move on and try not to do it again. I think that's my first go-to option.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Ugandan police say their task force of security and financial intelligence has arrested a lawyer for the opposition presidential candidate, Robert Kyagulanyi, popularly known as Bobi Wine. Police spokesperson Fred Inanga says Nicholas Opio, founder of the Human Rights Defense Organization, known as Chapter 4 Uganda, was arrested on allegations of and what the authorities call related malicious acts.
What we can basically tell you is that it is true that our task team of security together with the financial intelligence unit, this evening, the arrest of one of the last, Nicholas Opio, who is a subject of investigation, actually in an alleged money laundering and actually fraud scheme and other related malicious acts. So the task team has lines of inquiry that they are actually investigating. They are also looking at the actual source of the funds and how the proceeds, and also how the proceeds have been dispatching these proceeds. So it is basically that, and we want to give opportunity to this joint task team to carry out its work, and then we shall be coming up with a detailed update in due course. So it was just something as simple as that. He's in the custody of the police, and the investigations were actually progressing well. So I don't see any big problem that is arising out of that, because we are working within our mandate to carry out investigations, especially where there are complaints, where there are allegations, regardless of whether you're a human rights activist, a lawyer, or any ordinary human being. So
who gave the orders for the police to make this arrest? I'm saying this because the opposition is saying that this is part of a plan by the government to intimidate the opposition.
There is not anything like that. What I've indicated to you is that once we established that there were some transactions and actually investments that were suspect, then we really had to come out. We are jointly coordinating investigation with the financial intelligence unit. There is nothing about it. So he has to come out and explain to us and clear his name. We managed to inform the lawyers that he's in the custody of the Special Investigations Division. So it's a matter of them coming out clean, explaining themselves. So it is not anything political, but the fact remains that their claims of money laundering, wire fraud, and these are matters that attract investigations. It's not anything political. Fact remains that he's been receiving funds under suspicious arrangements, and that caused for this investigation. So let it remain like that. The opposition can also prove their claim, but we believe that what we are doing remains for the suspect to bring out information to help us prove his claims. As simple as that.
That's Fred Inanga, Uganda's police spokesperson. He was speaking with my colleague James Batty from the capital, Kampala. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, is warning that civilians in Ethiopia's Tigray region are in extreme peril amid allegations of widespread violations, some possibly amounting to war crimes. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
So far, refugees fleeing conflict in Ethiopia's northern province of Tigray have sought refuge in neighboring Sudan. However, the UN Refugee Agency says that is likely to change. The agency says refugees who reportedly are being prevented from leaving Ethiopia might try to flee to Djibouti and Eritrea instead. The multi-agency appeal, launched Tuesday, aims to support the three governments and others in the region in facilitating access to asylum and the provision of life-saving aid for those forced to flee. Aid agencies note a significant slowdown in the number of Ethiopians seeking asylum in neighboring Sudan. UNHCR spokesman Andre Mahetric says the total has now topped 52,000.
Despite the number of new arrivals dropping more recently to some 500 a day, aid agencies are dealing with a full-scale humanitarian emergency in a very remote area that has not seen such a large influx in decades.
Mahetic says funding will pay for a number of critical activities, including registration and documentation, the decongestion of sites in border areas, and transfer of refugees to new settlements.
Currently, many refugees remain in overcrowded conditions without proper facilities, and there continues to be a shortage of medicine and other supplies. We have seen a huge demand for family tracing and reunification, education, and for child-friendly spaces and nutritional programs.
Spokesman Mahetic says more than 20,000 refugees already have been relocated away from the border areas to Umrakuba camp, and work has begun on a new site located even further inside Sudan to accommodate more refugees. Other priorities included in the appeal are for food, health, shelter, and specific protection needs for women and girls at risk, unaccompanied minors, the disabled, and the elderly. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And on health issues, South African health authorities say the nation's second viral wave is driven by a new variant of the coronavirus, but they add that is not cause for alarm at this time. VOA's Anita Power reports from Johannesburg.
South African health officials say the nation's second coronavirus wave is driven by a new variant of the infection, but they add that is not cause for alarm. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg. If there is one overarching message from authorities about the new coronavirus variant in South Africa, it is this. Don't panic. In recent days, South Africa has seen a strong second wave, with the government documenting about 9,000 new cases a day. That leaves the nation, Africa's epicenter for the virus, with nearly 350,000 confirmed cases since March and nearly 25,000 deaths. Health Minister Dr. Zweliem Kize says epidemiologists expect to see a further rise as many South Africans return to work in January from a month-long summer holiday. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, Director General of the World Health Organization, says the new variant is no stronger than the original.
In the past few days, there have been reports of new variants of the COVID-19 virus in South Africa and the United Kingdom. Viruses mutate over time. That's natural and expected. The UK has reported that this new variant transmits more easily, but there is no evidence so far that it's more likely to cause severe disease or mortality.
Here's Mkhize, the health minister.
Right now, there's no need to change. There's no need to panic to think that there's some new treatment that we're going to need, or at this point to ask the question as to whether any of the treatment that has been used, is it going to be effective or not. At the moment, it has been effective even before we knew that there was a variant. So we want to keep that as a matter of reassurance to the public.
The chair of South Africa's Advisory Committee on the Coronavirus, Dr. Salim Abdul-Karim, says the nation's top sequencing lab found this new strain in about 90% of new cases. This, he stressed, is typical of viruses. They generally evolve to become more transmissible, but also less severe. He says the second wave is so far showing signs that it is spreading faster than the first wave. But is it stronger and deadlier? So far, he says, there are no signs of that. He also notes that experts are studying whether the new vaccines will work on the new variant. So far, he said the data is inconclusive. On Tuesday, the health department announced that the government had made a $19 million down payment to the International Vaccine Alliance. Those funds will go towards providing 6 million doses, which will cover about 10% of the population. Karim stressed that the single best strategy is to give the virus no quarter and starve it into submission.
The current diagnostics are still effective. Our current strategies of social distancing, hand hygiene, symptom checking, mask wearing, all of them remain the basic strategies of prevention for this virus.
South Africa's National Institute for Communicable Diseases has posted a list of frequently asked questions about the new variant on its website, www.nicd.ac.za. But here's what it comes down to. Wash your hands. Keep your distance from others. Stay home if you can. Essentially, treat this new strain the same as the old one. Remain calm and carry on. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We'd like to welcome our listeners on Radio Anisa 92.0 FM in Yambio Town to the family of VOA affiliate stations across South Sudan. We are glad residents of Yambio are now enjoying live VOA programming from Washington. We now leave you with Amy Yore and the song Yangada Gadia.
Voilà. Minina tani gyapa, minina tani gyapa emi. Minina vungreri sayino, mini gyapa kamusana ne gine miagbata. Mikiya minagbata raka mama. Se kushia boro kurize mbori kushia boro kurize kino oguyona papa chiposho
oguyorekya
oguyona papa chigaja
oguyorekya
yeko gaja
gaja ngajina o
e gaja
gaja ngajina o
Na gida kubaya ngungo faje yo oguyo ni wozununza me faje yo ro kubaya oguyo ni pakilia he para yonga kisa adena mbide ime bakinde mama oguyo ni batakawe ajinona kuru kukoro ginini kongo gure ginini rongo gure Ringa gulete, ye furo gaja,
gaja ngajina o,
gaja,
gaja ngajina o,
gini kamyari ngachini, gini paidu kamyari ngachini.
We've been listening to Emi Yore with the song Yangada Gadia. I must tell Emi Yore I've not eaten gadia for almost 20 years. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, vehicles, and phones. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
kotini kali hena kwa roya. Kuru ya pasakonda kboro, kamupingo kumakoro.